here, whether I'm here or not, because you come for Jesus. We got such a strong, godly core of people who are really, you really are very spiritual, and I appreciate that. And you don't do it for me, you do it for the Lord. And but we have lots of people to preach and run the services, so it'll be a great time, and that'll be good. Psalms 139 is where I'm going to be tonight. Psalms 139. My family is going to get out of here a little bit early tonight, so we are all got the same thing. We're a sharing family, and we share sickness and everything else. And so those of you who know what to do, if you can hang around and finish cleaning up, we just got to load everything onto the shuttle, then we could head out. So, and we'll slot prayer time tonight. Psalms 139. It's a very beautiful psalm. It's one of the probably the three or four most beautiful psalms in the Bible, and some of the verses are some of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, and therefore they're the most beautiful verses in the world, because the Bible is the most beautiful book in the world. And we're going to talk tonight about the Lord's attention toward us. The Lord's attention toward us. How's my volume? Am I loud enough? Am I too quiet? Can you hear me back in the back? A little louder? Okay. A little bit more. When I ask that, I start talking louder for whatever reason. Psalms 139, I just want to start with verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the chance to pray. Thank you. You're our Father in heaven. And Lord, I think we'll see a lot of good things about you tonight. But Lord, even stumbling human ability and human lips and human explanations can never do to speak of the goodness of God. Think of that great song, The Love of God. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky a parchment made? Were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry? Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Lord, we can never explain your goodness. We can never grasp some of these things here, but they're wonderful things. As you use the word, such things are too wonderful for me. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would be each individually spoken to, and that you would help us and draw us near to you, and help you to help us to see how you think of us. And also, Lord, if there's something in us that needs fix or change, we pray that you'd help us to fix or change that. And Lord, if you can take one life and completely transform it, and many lives speak to and give them something they can use to strengthen them, and all of us get more knowledge about you, Father, that'd be a great night. We pray you'd do everything that needs to be done, and the purpose whereto you sent this message, I pray it would be accomplished. And I yield myself to you and ask you to control it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this psalm is a very beautiful psalm that talks about the Lord thinking on us. And I want to just bring some points out of this psalm and just kind of run through the whole entire psalm. It starts off with, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And my point number one is God searches us. God searches us. Pretty simple, and it says it right there in verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me. God searches many things in our life very diligently, and God searches for many things in the Bible, and he explains how he searches, but it's very thorough, as we'll see in the Bible. I want to illustrate this a little bit. I want a kid who wants to have a contest to get a dollar. Any kids volunteer to try to win a dollar? Any adults volunteer to try to win a dollar? Who wants to try to win a dollar? All right, let's have Paul coming up here, and Alex coming up here. All right. Dollars in the line right there. Don't try to grab it. I'm very mean. And okay, here's what we're going to do. I want to have you guys have a searching contest. I didn't want to eat anything unhealthy, so I ate some corn stuff for breakfast. Corn pops. And it's got vegetables, corn pop, so it's healthy. And I always saw this on here. And so, come over here, Alex. Come over here. Okay, Joey, what I'm going to do is there is a contest here. If there's Mr. Potato Heads right here, okay? I want you to find out which two Mr. Potato Heads are exactly alike, okay? And I want you to look and find out which two Mr. Potato Heads are exactly alike. And when you know the answer, raise your hand up. And the first one, that's right, will win it. All right? So you're going to give me this. Ready? All right, we'll go here. Over. You see? Okay, all right. Alex, I saw your hand first. Which two? Have you done this before? Do you have that box of cereal at your house? Maybe. I think we have a cheater. You have that box, don't you? New contestant. Oh, hold on. Come here. I got a consolation prize just for... Come here. Come here, Alex. Consolation prize. Ready? Hold your hand out. Hand. Oh, I guess I'll do hands. All right, good. Paul, since you already got a head start, I guess I can't do you. You want some corn pops? Okay. All right. Two more kids. All right. Timothy and Mark. But wait a minute. Timothy looked this morning, didn't you, Timmy? Timmy, go back. He learned that from Mama. Okay. I need another adult. Okay. Nick, come on up. All right. Have you seen this box before?
This is the first day I've seen it.
Have you seen this box before? All right. Good. All right. Ready? Which two Mr. Potato Heads are exactly alike? On your marks, get set, go. First hand up. Okay, Marcus? Wrong. Nick? Wrong. Look closer. We should disqualify them if they're wrong. Okay, Nick, go ahead. Which two? You are right. Number three, number six. You get the dollar. Mark, you want any corn puffs? All right, hold your hand out. All right.
Here's your portion.
No, that's all right. I'm good. I'll sit here and eat it out of the pulpit. So, with little things like that, they got to look really closely because one Mr. Potato Head had an eyebrow and one didn't, but they looked exactly alike. And one Mr. Potato Head had a green shoe and the other one didn't. And you got to look really, really closely and you search every little Mr. Potato Head to look really intensely. And you're searching to find exactly because the details, they look all alike. They all got a head and eyes and a mustache and ears and feet. But yet, if you looked real closely and searched them, you found two that looked exactly alike. I'm a big... My favorite sport is college football, and my second favorite sport is pro football. I like them both a lot. Well, it's corn puffs that fell down in here. And I get into it a lot. I really like the NFL draft, which was this last week. And in the NFL draft, if you understand, they look for players, and there's 117 Division I-A teams. That's the big colleges. Then there's a gazillion smaller teams that are all over the nation. And literally, some guy could be at Northwestern Nobody University, and if they can play football, a scout is going to find them. And they have what's called a combine in Indianapolis, and they bring these athletes, and literally, they have them stripped down to their underwear, and they poke and prod and look at every little thing. They take pictures of them. They run with them with super fast videos, have them run. They have them put pads on and see how they look. They have them bench press. They bench press 225 pounds. So many times they can bench press it. They have to jump vertically and see how high they can reach. They do everything. They break down the film. And their full-time job of many people is literally to just watch film of certain football players so they can find a really, really good football player because, for example, the first-round draft pick, the first pick in this year's draft, his signing bonus, which means he gets for signing a piece of paper before he plays a game, his signing bonus will be about $35 million before he plays a game. So they really thoroughly search these guys. They send private investigators after him. They talk to their high school coaches. And you can find information on these guys. They suddenly become a product, and they are searched in every way. Who they hang around, and this is just a book on this. This is just a draft. And this book is about, this has 365 players, and it has breakdowns on all these guys. And you would think nobody even know who this person was, or they wouldn't be important. And I could read in here articles on these people. You would never even know anything about them because somebody searched them out. This guy's name is John Skelton. He got drafted this year. This guy plays at Fordham. Anybody here know where Fordham University is? Has anybody here heard of Fordham? Not a whole bunch. It's not Michigan or Notre Dame. And this is just one guy. He's just one of many quarterbacks. He's 6'5", 244 pounds. His 40-yard dash is 4.88 seconds. Positives. Accurate enough to give his receiver a chance to make a play, whether a quick screen or an out route, a slant, fade, or throw in the seam. Ball gets from hash to opposite sideline in a hurry when he steps into the throw. Good trajectory and deep passes, and the ball doesn't hang up. That's all about his passing, the good part of his passing. Prototypical size and stands tall in the pocket, waits patiently for routes to develop, mobile for his size, and accurate on the run in either direction. Somebody broke down the film and says, you know, he throws just as good running to the left as he throws when he's running to the right. Negatives. He will aim the ball and feather it instead of letting it loose. A lot of details on some guy from Fordham. And yet they think that it's important enough where they search these people out. They look at everything. When he runs to the right, how does he throw? If it's a short pass, does he throw good? How tall is he? They lie about their height, so they actually get them in all these scales. They do every single thing. They look at his ankles. They measure their wrists and their hands, how far apart their hands are, how long their fingers are. You could do everything great in college and be a great, great, great athlete and a great quarterback. If your hands are too small, you will drop way, way down. Just if your hands are too small. You got the right size hands. These people are searched, and it's ridiculous how far they go and all this stuff to find a great athlete, and they do that. In the Bible, it says, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me." I don't know if I would like someone poking around and checking everything out and coming and watching me and following my background and talking to my high school coaches and talking to my family, doing every little detail, just analyzing everything in my life. Yet the God of the universe says he does that to us. O Lord, thou hast searched me. He searches many things, and he finds everything. Psalms, if you go back to Psalms 44, Psalms 44, God searches us very thoroughly. Verse 20, Psalms 44. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands unto a strange God, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Number one, God searches our hearts. He searches our hearts. Many verses on this. Romans 8:27, shall not he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit? God searches our heart. First Chronicles, if I could take you there, it's back from Psalms, but First Chronicles. First, Second Samuel, First, Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles. God searches our hearts. 1 Chronicles 28. And David and David talking to Solomon and says, and thou, verse 9, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. The Lord searcheth all hearts. He searches your hearts. God himself searches that. If you go back to our text there in Psalms 139, I know I'm moving you around a lot, but Psalms 139, he searches the hearts. And keep your finger there if we turn somewhere else. But verse 23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. God searches your heart. He takes a close look at it, and he looks deeply inside your heart, and he searches everything in there and sees what is in there and what the truth is. See, your actions on the outside can portray one thing, but your heart can be different. Usually it comes out for somebody with an observant eye. They can see it in the eyes. They can see it in the attitude. They can see it in the body language. But many times your heart is deceitful. And you can fool everybody else. And you might seem real spiritual. Or you might seem a certain way. But God searches the heart. He knows exactly the way your heart is. You might be in church and you might have to go to church because your parents make you. Or you might be here tonight. And you might have parts of your heart that nobody else knows about, dark corners in your heart. But the Bible says God searches the heart and knows what's in it. God knows your heart. He searches your heart and knows everything about it. Underneath that, first of all, he sees the truth about your heart. I don't understand how some people are hypocrites and how they many times they'll go and deceive people and put on an act, and we see that occasionally. But you know, God always sees the truth of the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 is an important verse about this. Verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Who can know the heart? "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. I, the Lord, search the heart." And then he says, "I search the heart. I try the reins." If you've ever ridden a horse, you know what reins are. And God basically comes to your heart and he pulls those strings that steer you. And he comes and says, I see your heart and I search the heart, and then also I try the reins of your heart. He also says the same thing in Revelation in chapter 2 and verse 23. "I am he that searches the reins and the heart." What God does to your heart is he says, "Is your heart fully in love with me above all things? Do you love me more than the world? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you love me more than your spouse? Do you love me more than your own comfort? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than money?" And then God says, "I see your heart, and then I try the reins." God grabs those strings that are of our lives, and he tugs them and says, "Let me see if your heart will do it. And I'm going this way in life, and my heart is set on this way, and my mind's set on this way." And God says, "I want you to go this way." You will find many times God asking you to do something you're not very comfortable in is not at all what you had planned, and what you had planned wasn't even wrong. And God says, "Let's try those reins. Let me pull you to the left." And you say, "No, I don't want to go that way. I'm going this way." Why won't God just let this be easy? Why won't God put me where I'm happy? Why does God tell me to go do this thing when I really am more comfortable with this thing? He may be trying the reins of your heart and seeing if your heart is right with him. See, you should be willing to do anything God leads you to do, anything. God leads you to go be a missionary, you're willing. If God leads you to go witness to somebody, you're willing. If God says, "I want you to read the book of John today," you're willing. But I'm reading in Psalms right now. It doesn't matter. Whatever God leads you to do, you do what he wants you to do. And he will lead you. And God tries those reins and he pulls on you and says, "Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to go where I want you to go? Are you willing to do what I want you to do?" And then he asks you about something that you don't really want to do. And sometimes he even goes and trying those reins, ask you to give up something you don't want to give up. You say, it's not wrong. It might not be wrong at all. God might just be trying the reins. You love that thing a little too much, and God says, "Do you love me more than you love her? Abraham, do you love me more than you love your son? Go take him up to the altar up there." That's a pretty hard thing there. Abraham said, "Okay, up we go on the mountain. Let's sacrifice my son. Because I will follow God, and he has the reins, and I will follow him." He sees the truth of your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yet God says, "I know it, and I see it, and I search it, and I try it." And many people say, "Well, I love God with all my heart, but when he tries the reins, how do you do? Are you willing to go anywhere God wants you to go? Do anything God wants you to do, whether you're comfortable, whether it's you want to do, whether it's convenient for you to do, whether it's fun to do, or anything else. When God tries those reins, are you saying yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way?" God tries those heart. He tries the reins of the heart. He searches also our thoughts. Psalms 139, we saw he searches our hearts. But when he does that, he searches our thoughts. Verse 2, "Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." Before your brain goes there, God already understands your thoughts afar off. He knew your thoughts before you were born. He had to die for some of those thoughts. When I work on the computer, I'm not very great in the computer, but when I work on the computer and I can't find a file. I'm looking for something I've done on the computer before, and I can't find it because our computer is kind of disorganized and it kind of does, we kind of have things everywhere. So I'll go and I'll do search, and I go into Windows, I click search, and I'll say, we're working on a new logo, and I'll put ODBC logo search. And the computer begins immediately to search for that file name everywhere, and it just searches the entire hard drive and looks and looks and looks and looks for ODBC, Open Door Baptist Church logo, and it searches and searches and searches and searches and searches, and it knows what I've done before. And there's even a spot that you can click on that same search thing, if you know what I'm talking about, where it says search hidden files. And when you click that, and you can also have it search just for a word in the file, not just a title of the file. And yet God goes and he comes to you and he says, I want to go and I'm going to search your mind and your thoughts and know your thoughts. Can you imagine if just for a moment as you and I walked around, there was a screen above our head and our thoughts were just displayed? Ooh, wait, you're thinking of that? Hey, buddy, I've been watching your thoughts too. Oh, yeah. And can you imagine? How many would volunteer to have one of those screens sticking up if they would search it? Anybody here want to reveal their secret thoughts of their heart? Because they are revealed. God searches them and knows them afar off. He knows your thoughts. Nobody else knows, though, but God does. And he gives every man according to his work shall be. And God sees your thoughts afar off. He sees them and he knows your thoughts. I'm not getting a lot of amens on this thing. God is searching your heart and he's searching your thoughts like a computer scans a file. God knows everything is there, and that's what he wants to do. Number two, he knows all about us. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did behold my substance, yet being imperfect. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as yet there is none of them. Little Grant back there, Paul is holding him, and little Grant's just a couple weeks old, I guess. When he was being formed, God knew every part of Grant, and said, I know everything about you. I know every little thing. I know you, every detail. I know your fingerprint and everything else. And he is pregnant, and that little thing's probably the size of a dot. And right now, God knows everything about that baby and knows it very personally. First of all, God knows our makeup, how we're made, and everything about our makeup and the way we're wired and everything in us. He says in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret in the womb and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Before everything, God saw you. Next, he says, a book records every part of us. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in thy book all my members were written. If you know that term members, it's used in 1 Corinthians 12. We are all part of a body of Christ, and members in particular, body parts. He says, I knew every member of your body, every part of your body is written in a book. I know your finger, I know your eyelashes, I know your ears, I know your toes. I've written every single book, and I have you cataloged, every little part of you. I know you very intimately. It's an amazing thing that God still loves us. Because he knows every little thing about us, and he knows us so well, he writes down in a book and records every little part of us. Verse 4, there is not a word of my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The recording of words in the Bible is amazing. God says, you will give an account for every idle word. Everyone. That's a lot of files somewhere. And God says, you're going to give an account of every idle word. And it says, God, every single word I ever speak, you know it completely. I don't say too many bad things anymore. I have in my life said a lot of bad things. But you know, even when we mutter, you ever mutter? You ever grumble? You ever walk around and you ever talk to yourself? You call yourself names? How many call yourself names? Oh, good. I don't feel so weird then. How many call yourself bad names? I don't mean cuss names. I mean bad names and you idiot. I said, what are you doing? God says, I know every word and I know you so intimately. Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off, verse 2. Thou compassest my paths and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word of my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows our thoughts, our makeup, how we're made, every detail about us, our words, our thoughts, everything. He knows everything about you. And yet the God says, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knows all about you. There's nothing hid from him. You might as well be honest with him. Number 3, he thinks about us. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, his thoughts toward us, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God says, I know, I think about you. How precious are thy thoughts unto me. My kids aren't always perfect, but you know when I think of my kids, I get a smile at every one of my kids. I just get a grin. Just all of them are so special and so different. They're so smart and so clever and so cute, and I love my kids, and I think about them, and I smile when I think about them, and I hope I can always do that. But God sits there, and he says, I think about you very deeply, and my thoughts towards you are very precious. Wait a minute, Pastor, isn't that contradictory? God knows everything about me, and he still thinks precious thoughts toward me. I know, isn't he amazing? If I remembered everything that I've ever done and remembered everything about me and knew everything about me for one moment, I don't know if my thoughts would be still precious toward me. If I knew every single thing about you and every single thing, if I said, okay, I want somebody up here and tell me every single bad thing about themselves, we wouldn't have any volunteers, first of all, except for a few conceited people who'd say, you know, I'm thinking about it. And we'd have a few of those, but you know, most of us wouldn't want to do that. And if we knew everything about each other, we wouldn't respect each other so much. And God does that, and it says, how precious are your thoughts, even though he knows all about us. He thinks about us. God thinks about you. Isn't it comforting? Sometimes just writing a letter, somebody says, I just let you know I was thinking about you today. Just to know someone had you on their mind. It's important to know that somebody thinks about you and cares about you, and you're important enough to someone. Some of us sometimes think that nobody thinks about us, nobody cares about us, and some of you even think that nobody calls you or talks to you unless they want something. Yet, God says, my thoughts are precious towards you. And that's not where we want to be. Next, in this chapter, we see that he is with us. And we'll read a lengthy passage here. He is with us. Not only does he think about us, not only does he search us, not only does he know all about us, but he is always with us. And this chapter, probably more than any other chapter in the entire Bible, emphasizes how God is always with us. And as he said in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said in the Great Commission, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And in Psalms 139, we see this very clearly. Look at these beautiful words, verse 3. Thou compassest my path. That means you're all around it. And my lying down. You're all around me when I'm walking around. You're all around me when I'm lying down. And are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. That means you're behind me and in front of me. And hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge that God has laid his hand upon me and God has camped round about me, as Psalms 34 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. You ever hung around somebody that drove you nuts and you just had to get away no matter how desperate it was to get away from them? Yeah, I don't care if I have to walk home. I got to get away from this person. Can you excuse me when I go to the bathroom and you bail. Did you know we're that irritating, I think, to God with our unholiness, and yet God says, I hang around you all the time. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me that I'm never alone. That God wants to be with me, and that he stays with me, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? He says, God, you hang around me all the time. It's so wonderful that you hang around me. You know everything about me, and yet you still do it. Lord, it's so wonderful to me. If I wanted to run from you, what would I do to get away from God? If I try to get away from God, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I go fly out in the middle of the ocean, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the light shineth as the day, and the darkness and the night are both alike to thee. It says, I can go, I'm just going to go to a dark room and turn off the light, and God, you won't be able to see me. And it says, God sees in the darkness. God's nocturnal, and he can see everything at night. You can go in the darkest place, the farthest corner of the world. You can go north pole, south pole, the middle of the ocean. Anywhere you go, if you're a child of God, God says, I am with you, and my right hand will hold you there. I can't run away from God. God says he'll never leave me. And God is with me always, and I couldn't flee from his presence. Jonah tried, and it didn't work. Understand, God will be with you. He will stick with you. No, nobody else sticks with you. It's an amazing thing. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. In the very beginning, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are all thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We are fallen creatures and sinful creatures, yet God made us in his image, so we are beautiful and wonderful and very noble creatures above every animal on the earth. God gave us dominion, and God said, you are humans. Forget the evolution garbage. God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter what you're like, no matter how tall or short you are, no matter how big you are or anything else, no matter how weird you are, how not smart you are, whatever your problem is or your issue with yourself, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God says, you're very precious to me. I will never leave you, and I will be with you always. God says, I will search you out and know you. Here's an amazing thing about all that, with God searching and knowing everything about us, and that he does do that and searches our hearts. The godly people, the really godly people, actually invite this. The really God people, really godly people go to the Lord and say, Lord, search me. And if there's anything wrong in me, let me know about it. Lord, find my ways. But most of us are like Adam and are running and trying to hide ourselves from the presence of God that wants to search us and see, reveal some things. See, God will reveal things to you. He says he will. But many people try to hide from God. And many times, even they do it in their mind. They just try to wipe out remembrance of life and God through drugs and alcohol. Many people try to do it through getting away from church and saying they're an atheist. And they try to hide from God by criticizing church people and saying, I don't need God. And they try to hide from God by saying this and that and every other thing. And you know what? Those who are truly godly say, God, if there's anything in me that you don't like, search me and find it out. Verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We want him to find and reveal everything about us. We want to go to God and say, Lord, if there's... Wait a sec. We want to be the kind of Christian who is so yielded to God that we say, God, I've confessed everything. If there's anything else, Lord, search me and know me. Yet many of us aren't even at the point where we're saying, God, you spoke to me, and you searched me, and I want this right. Can I ask you this? Are you willing for God to search you and reveal anything in your life to you and change it for God? Some of us are afraid for God to search us. We don't want that. We say, if there's anything I don't want here, I'll remove it myself, thank you. I don't need you to come in and do inventory. But the psalmist was so godly, he said, Lord, search me and know me, and find out if there's any wicked thing in me, let me know about it, because I want to be pure and right with you. A story was told of D.L. Moody walking across the street, and a wagon started coming by as we're coming up the street, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the street, he just stopped dead and bowed his head. The wagon is flying down the street, and he stopped not that far in front of the wagon, and somebody ran by and grabbed Moody and shoved him across the street. And after a moment, he opened his eyes again, and the man said, you know, you almost just got killed by a horse and ran over. What are you doing stopping and bowing your head? He said, a shadow passed between me and my Lord, and I had to remove it. Didn't want to take his next step because he wanted to be so close to God. Search me, O God, and know me. Find out if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting. Thou hast searched me. Can I ask you, God searched you. Has he found your heart pure? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, Psalms 51. And in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The Bible says, cleanse thou us from secret faults. Secret faults. It is not what you are in front of church, and it's not what I am behind the pulpit that impresses God. It's the secret things. It's the things that God knows about. It's the heart, it's the words, it's the mind. God is searching them, and he sees everything there. Are you yielded to him? He knows all about you. He cares about you. He recorded about you. He knows about you, and he thinks you're very precious, and he thinks special thoughts about you. He's with you always, even at the end of the world. And there were some athletes in this draft that came out that were phenomenal athletes. See, the most elite athletes don't go to the combine. The combine in Indianapolis, the most elite ones very rarely go to the combine. They say, no, I'm going to have my private workout. And they'll go to their own school with their own gym, with their own running things, and with their own cameras, and their own field, and everything in their own comfort zone. And they will not do things at the combine because, you know what? They want to be everywhere where they're familiar and comfortable, and it'll be easy for them. But the athletes who really aren't the top 5 or 10 picks, they go to the combine and say, let me run. Let me jump. Let me go ahead and see. Hey, check me out. Look at this. I am built. I'm buff. I've worked out. I'm a great athlete, and I can help your team. And go ahead and search me. Check me out. I got a good background. I'm clean. I'm right. You can check me out. Don't worry, I'm not worried about my background check. It's going to come back clean. I got a great attitude. You can interview me. You can do whatever you want. Search me. I want to make your team, and I want to be great. I want to be a top pick in your team because I am elite. Are you that yielded to God where you ask God to search you? Are you willing, and when God searches you tonight, if God searches your heart and just sees everything, forget what I see, forget what your family sees, forget everything else, we are good fakers. How many serial murderers their families didn't even know? Gary Ridgway, his family didn't know he'd killed 30-some women. Listen, God is searching and knows the truth about you and I. He loves us. He will forgive us. His thoughts are precious toward us. But you need to let God go through and inventory you and say, I don't want this, but I do want this. How's your heart? Is it pure? How's your thoughts? Are they pure? How is the things in your house and your relationship? God wants to search you, and he does, and he knows your heart. So just serve him in purity. If you have something there, confess it to him and bring it out. And realize that you can't run from him because he loves you and he's going to be with you always. If you feel like God's forsaken me, God doesn't want to be with me. No, he knew every little thing from your birth and wrote it down and says, I love you and my thoughts are precious towards you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, there's a great deal in this chapter and a lot of the verses. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But you're the one who searches the reins in the hearts. Lord, I pray tonight if you decide to pull some reins, or if you have in our lives, maybe some people here have been getting pulled by you in a certain direction, and you're telling them to do something that's not what they wanted or planned or dreamed. It's not what they necessarily want. I pray that as they search your heart, that tonight they would decide to yield the reins to you. I pray, Lord, that if our thoughts are not what they ought to be as you search them, I pray that we would confess that. I pray if our hearts aren't right, we would get that right with you. I pray we'd know we're special and your thoughts are precious toward us and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you will be with us even to the end of the world.